Turn to Ruth, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. If you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. And Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. So you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren. And from his position at the gate, you are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Redemption. Redemption. And the beauty. The beauty of being redeemed, and not only being redeemed, but knowing that that redemption is accomplished. Do you know that you have been redeemed? Have you asked, as Ruth did, to be redeemed? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you, that he has paid the price of your redemption? Boaz told Ruth, I will perform the duty for you. I will redeem you. Christ has told us, I will perform the duty for you. Not only will I perform the duty, but I have performed the duty for you who have come under my wing for redemption. Boaz redeemed Ruth, and Jesus Christ redeemed both Boaz and Ruth. Christ has redeemed us, and now we are to be his witnesses of redemption. Those who have witnessed redemption are to be used as Boaz was. Our glorious Boaz will use us to love one another, to comfort one another, to minister to one another. those whom he will redeem, will be instruments of redemption in the hand of our glorious Boaz. He will use his witnesses to reform, to renew, and to rescue. We will be instruments of redemption in the hand of our glorious Boaz. No longer will we be those people who would destroy. No longer will we be those people that corrupt. No longer will we be those people that seduce and abuse and take advantage of. Those that have been redeemed, that are witnesses of redemption, they are to love, they are to comfort, and they are to minister, just as Boaz ministered to Ruth. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has bought us. Christ has purchased us. Christ has promised that he has performed the duty for you. Boaz is about to perform the duty to redeem Ruth. Turn to Ruth 4, verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. Ruth 4:1 tells us Boaz went up to the gate. He went up to the public square. He went up to the place where the transactions were done, where judgment was rendered, where cases were settled. He did it in front of everyone. He wanted everyone to know of this glorious redemption that was going to take place. Same as Jesus Christ, when you see a cross to this day, you know that redemption was accomplished in a public arena for all to see, for all the world to see. Boaz went down to the gate, to the place where everybody came through. You had to come through the gate. That is where transactions were done. He goes to the gate to begin to fulfill what he has promised to Ruth. Do you remember what he promised to Ruth in chapter 3, verse 11, where he said, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. Fear not. I will do for you all that you request. I will do for you all that you would request." And now we see the hidden hand of God, another act of providence. Look in verse 1. "And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by." He goes to the gate to begin to fulfill what he has promised to Ruth. And behold, once again, the hidden hand of God. Providence once again, as we saw in chapter 2, verse 3, the providence of God, where it said of Ruth, "Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz." Now here's Boaz, goes down to the gate, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken just happened to come by. Once again, we see God's sovereignty. We see God's providence. We see God's loving kindness. His chesed, that he would fulfill the things that he has promised. The kinsman redeemer Boaz had spoken of comes by. And Boaz says to him, "Come aside, friend." But that makes it a little nicer, "come aside, friend." What it actually says in Hebrew is so-and-so. Mr. So-and-so, literally, Mr. So-and-so, come by. He calls him by the name of Mr. So-and-so. The man, the kinsman redeemer, who will never be known by name. The one that had the right to redeem Ruth. Now we mention him as Mr. So-and-so. "Come sit down, Mr. So-and-so. I have a business proposition for you. Calls for the elders. And he has this discussion before the witnesses. Look at verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Here's the Redeemer. Here's Mr. So-and-so. Here's the 10 elders. Naomi has sold her inheritance. Verses 3 and 4. Then he said to the close relative Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, literally, to uncover your ear, to inform you, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. If you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. You could imagine Boaz's heart just hit the ground. Here he is. He come to redeem his beloved. And he's like, uh-oh. That's what I was afraid of. That's what I was afraid of. But he knew this gentleman just a little bit. It was a relative of his that he would have known. He would have known the disposition of Mr. So-and-so. So in verse 5, we see Boaz being as wise as a serpent. Then Boaz said, being wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it back from Ruth. And notice, the Moabitess, making it known, the lesser than. You got to take that girl. This is a package deal. You have to take Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. You have to take the Moabitess along with the land. And verse 6, looks what it says, Mr. So-and-so and their close relative, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So from verse 4, and he said, I will redeem it, to verse 6, for I cannot redeem it. I cannot redeem it. I'm not going to get nothing from her. There's nothing in it for me. The close relative says, I cannot redeem it. I cannot ruin my inheritance. It is not that he cannot. It's that he will not. He certainly can. He said, I will redeem her. He will not redeem because he will not love, because he will not comfort, because he will not minister. It was good when it was land for him. When it was a land deal, then it was good. Mr. So-and-so has known redemption. He has known the love of God. He is a child of the covenant. He knows the comfort of God, the cassette of God, the loving kindness of God. He knows of the inheritance. He knows of the blessing of being the firstborn. He knows of being a kinsman redeemer. But yet, buy the land, increase my holdings, more money, more things, more prestige. He's okay with that. All of those things he's okay with. Draw up the paperwork. That's fine. As long as I'm going to benefit. But then Boaz reveals really what's in his heart. Just like the Lord really reveals what's in your heart. See? The land, the money, the health, the wealth, the big places, the big money, the jewelry, all of that. I'll redeem that. But then the Lord comes with the Moabites, whoever the Moabites is or what shape or form that Moabite takes. And then all of a sudden, you become like Mr. So-and-so. As soon as the Lord says, you have to take the cross along with this. Well, wait a minute now. that doesn't exactly fit into my plans. That is not the way that I planned it. You're going to ruin my inheritance. See, we like all of those blessings, quote unquote, from the Lord. But when it's time to love, when it's time to comfort, when it's time to minister to, then we're as Mr. So-and-so. I cannot redeem it. I cannot rescue. I cannot ransom anything. I'm too wrapped up in my inheritance, in my field, in my family, in everything pertaining to me. Mr. So-and-so was about Mr. So-and-so. And he says, I don't want to ruin my inheritance. I'm an heir. I have property. I'm not going to inherit a Moabitess. I'm not going to inherit someone else's problems. See, as soon as the Lord calls us to enter into compassion with the other person's pain and heartaches, then we're as Mr. So-and-so. I'll redeem the land, Lord. Give me that money and that stuff and the job and the house. But that Moabite is, I'm not ruining my inheritance. He was saying, I'm not going to ruin my kingdom. I'm not going to ruin what's best for me. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to prefer others over my own interests. No way. I cannot redeem her. You just said that you could redeem her. And that's why Boaz left a little, as those that play cards, he had a little ace in the hole, so to speak. That after you seen what Mr. So-and-so's heart was, then he pulled it out. You got to take the Moabites with you. He says, no, I'm not going to destroy my inheritance. I'm not going to ruin my value. I'm not going to lose my honor. I'm not going to demolish all that I have created. I'm not going to take care of the homeless. I'm not going to visit the prisoner. I'm not going to clothe the naked. I'm not going to feed the hungry. I'm involved with my own inheritance. Don't you understand? For I am Mr. So-and-so. But Boaz, now that's a totally different man. He brings Ruth, the Moabitess, into his world and gives her all of his blessings, all that he's been blessed by, because he remembers back his mother's heritage. He remembers. So Mr. So-and-so tells Boaz, you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. How many people do you say, you redeem that. You go minister to that person. You go comfort that person. You go love that person. I give up my right to do that. Because I'm all about my inheritance and my field and my stuff. Mr. So-and-so worried about his inheritance. And guess what? His name ain't even in the scripture. He was worried about his inheritance, and his name is Mr. So-and-so. And we're talking about Boaz. And not only Boaz, but Jesus Christ, our glorious Boaz. Not Mr. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so's wind up in the ash heap. I cannot redeem it. His name is not in the scripture. Because he was more concerned about his present position than the future. The question is today, how many of you are more concerned about your present condition than the future condition? About the future condition of yourself and the future condition of the Moabites that the Lord would bring into your life. The less thans. But I'm all about my field. I'm all about my inheritance. I cannot redeem, I cannot rescue, I cannot help, I cannot go with open hands to that down and out one. No, God forbid, I'm about myself. Ruth 4, 7 and 8 tells us. See, Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so and child so-and-so. Everything is done in the public arena. Everything is done at the gate. The transaction is being done at the gate. Do you forget the scripture that says, considering the great cloud of witnesses that's around us? Your whole life is being played out at the gate. And you're like, Mr. So-and-so, I cannot redeem her. And in verses 7 and 8, it says that there's witnesses, the great cloud of witnesses that surround us. While you go about living your life for yourself. Verse 7 and 8. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off the sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off the sandal. Gave away the right of redemption. Just like Esau gave away. Gave away his inheritance. It didn't mean nothing to him. How many of you, it don't mean nothing to you. Your redemption, your inheritance, it doesn't mean nothing to you. You live your life for yourself. And in the end, you will be Mr. So-and-so. You will be Mrs. So-and-so. The witnesses bore witness to the giving away the right of redemption. Buy it for yourself. Mr. So-and-so transferred his right of redemption, symbolized by the taking off of the sandal. It was a form of signing a contract. It was a handshake. Mr. So-and-so took off his sandal. And it's not a small thing to remember. The Lord says that we're to wash the feet. Mr. So-and-so, he was taking his sandal off. He wanted his feet to be washed. How many of us today, that's what our Christian life is. You wash my feet. I'm not washing anybody's feet. The sandal's been taken off. Christ told us, if you would be great, if you would be great to wash the feet of those around you, to serve those around you, to comfort those around you, to minister to those around you, as Boaz did. Boaz didn't have to do nothing for Ruth, except give her the little crumbs that fell. That was it. That was his obligation by the law. And Boaz goes all the way to redeeming her, buying her, redeeming her. We're called not to be ministered to, but to minister. Boaz is about to fulfill the promise that he made to Ruth. Look at Ruth 3, verse 11, 13. Ruth had come to him. Three. 11 and 13. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Verse 13. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. As the Lord lives. That was their way of saying, well, swearing without swearing. As the Lord lives, this I will do. Boaz says he will fulfill the promise that he has made. Turn to Ruth 4, verses 9 and 10. I will do for you. And Boaz said to the elders of all the people, here's a man that is a man of integrity, a man of his word, a man that speaks the truth. Not, I got another excuse, sorry, can't do that. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren, And from his position at the gate, you are witnesses this day. I have bought, I have acquired. The Redeemer had to legally transact redemption before witnesses. It wasn't done in private. It wasn't in the privacy of your home. It was before witnesses. And this fact is now seen in the legal transaction that took place between Boaz and the other kinsman redeemer, right in front of everybody. In ancient history, the law for transferring or redeeming property was finalized by a dramatic symbol. A person removed one sandal and gave it to the other party. Throughout the Old Testament, to walk, to set foot on land, meant that a person was taking possession and ownership of it. When you took that sandal off, you gave up the right to that land, to that property. It then belonged to the other person. In the present case, when the other kinsman redeemer refused to buy Naomi's property, he removed the sandal. He revoked his right to the property and gave Boaz the right to purchase it. Boaz called upon the witnesses to confirm the transaction of redemption. He turned to the 10 elders and to the people standing around witnessing the scene, calling upon them to be witnesses to the legal transaction. And what I want you to see is that he itemized exactly what he was redeeming. Exactly. As it said, and Christ came to die for the sins of his people. He was an itemized, particular redemption. Boaz said he was redeeming all of Naomi's property, the property of her husband Elimelech and their two sons, Chilion and Mahlon. He was redeeming Ruth, marrying her in order to carry on, keep alive the family name and the family property. It was itemized. It was a very particular redemption. He did not redeem no one else. He redeemed Ruth. Particular redemption. Boaz then made a public declaration. The family name and property were not to die out with the death of Naomi and Ruth. Your name will not die out. Though your name was going to die out and would have died out, the family name and property were not to disappear from the family records nor from the town records. Today, you are witnesses to this transaction of redemption. He did it in public for everyone to see. In the early history of Israel, the redemption of people or property had to be legally transacted. If a kinsman redeemer was to rescue or save some person, he had to obey the law. Our redemption is a legal transaction. You must get that in your mind because there's so much of this quote-unquote spirituality today. I feel that I know God. There's a burning in my bosom. I go to this church where I've done this or I've done that. Your redemption is based on a legal forensic transaction that has taken place. Christ had to obey the law as Boaz had to obey the law. Christ purchased our redemption upon the cross. It was a legal transaction, the same as it was a legal transaction between Boaz and the other redeemer. The sandal was passed in front of witnesses. Boaz now had the right to redeem Ruth. Christ had the right to redeem his people. Christ fulfilled the law perfectly by hanging upon the cross, by securing our redemption. The death of Jesus Christ upon the cross was a legal transaction between God and man. You must remember that when you're slipping and sliding in your Christian walk. You must remember that you have been justified by his blood, that you have been redeemed, that you have been sanctified, that you have been glorified, that you have been predestinated, that you have been chosen, that you have become a joint heir. You don't understand, this is a legal transaction between God Almighty and his Son Jesus Christ. Not upon your work and your witness and your doing. This is a legal transaction. As it was between Boaz and the other redeemer. Ruth didn't have to do nothing but ask. She asked the redeemer to redeem her. And he said, I will do all that you have asked of me. Fear not. I will do all that you have asked. The death of Christ upon the cross was the legal transaction between God Almighty and man. Christ redeemed us. The very way God chose to redeem us, to rescue us, and to save us from sin and death is found in Christ and His work. Christ said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. I have not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it." This is a legal transaction, brothers and sisters, done before the gate of history, done before the bar of God Almighty, a legal transaction that has taken place. It can never be extinguished. It can never be abolished. This transaction has taken place between our glorious Boaz and us, the church of Almighty God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. As Boaz redeemed Ruth, her redemption was found in Ruth. We as sinners, our redemption is found in Jesus Christ through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, being justified freely by His grace. There's nothing you can do for it except ask Him. That is what you can do. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Through faith, what? In His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Peter tells us, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." We're not talking about Ruth and Boaz now. We're not talking about the gate. We're not talking about fields. We're not talking about grain. We're not talking about wheat. We're talking about that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain behavior and conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. There was no sandal that was passed. It was shed blood. Shed blood. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Today you're hearing redeemed. You're hearing redemption. What is redeemed? What is redemption? Ruth was redeemed from a life of poverty, a life of hunger, a life of loneliness, a life of being a lesser than. We're talking about a great redemption, a great redeemer that had to be paid with the blood of Christ. What is redeemed? What is redemption? It is to be freed from sin. You are a slave to sin. He's redeemed you from sin. This is why you're no longer to play with sin, why you're to mortify sin, why you're to hate sin. He redeemed you from sin. And not only did He redeem you from sin, He freed you from sin, the power of sin. He's freed you from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy said, "If you continue in all of these things, I will bless you. And if you don't keep every single law that I ever gave you, you're cursed." He took you from being cursed. You were damned. Damned to hell for eternity. For a billion years from now. The horrors of hell. That's what He redeemed you from. You talk about redeemed. He didn't redeem you from some stupid piece of property in Israel. He redeemed you from hell. And you live your life ho-hum. Redeems you from the curse of the law that said, turn to Galatians 3. This is what He redeems you from. This ain't a cute little love story like Boaz and Ruth. The Old Testament is shadows of the greater truth to be revealed. We're not talking about redemption from land and getting your belly filled up. We're talking about something far greater. Far, far greater. Turn to Galatians 3, 8 through 14. Galatians 3, 8 through 14. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone. That means you. Cursed is everyone who does not continue. And what? A few things. The things you give your best shot. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That is what sinners are to know. You are cursed. You are cursed. You are damned. You are going to hell. There's no hope except a Redeemer. You need a Redeemer. And those who know that Redeemer. This was your condition. When he came to you, you wasn't seeking him. You couldn't seek him because you were cursed. Cursed people don't seek the God of Israel. They search out a God that'll probably ease their conscience a little bit and deceive them a little bit more. But as a pagan under the curse, you're not seeking the very God that's cursing you. That's part of the curse. You can't. Who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the Lord to do them. But that no one, you lawkeeper, you Pharisee, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. Is evidence. The evidence is provided. For the just shall live by faith. Not faith plus something. The justified one shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. But the man who does them shall live by them. You who would think that you're earning your way to salvation with Almighty God, he says the man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13. You want to know redemption? You want to know redeemed? You want to know the book of Ruth? You want to know Boaz, his Ruth, Boaz, the Bible, all rolled up into one. Christ. Christ, the name that people blaspheme when they hit their thumb with a hammer that shout out Jesus Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Has redeemed us. Not going to redeem us. He has redeemed us. Has. In the past. Before eternity. When he elected you. When he predestinated you. He redeemed you. This is why I say, how could you be so apathetic in your life with Christ? How could he mean so little to you? Unless, of course, you really don't know. You were damned. You were cursed. You were accursed. You were hated by God. That he was angry with you continually. But maybe you thought you was a pretty fine egg and God probably got a pretty good deal getting you on his side. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. The one who knew no sin, the Pharisee of 10,000, the Holy One of Israel, became sin for us. Boaz, all he had to do was take her as a wife, give her some money, give her some land, and love her. He didn't redeem her with blood. He didn't become a curse, the one who knew no sin. Knew no sin. Became sin for us. What gospel do you got in your mind? What gospel does the church have in their mind? With 30, 40, 50,000 people in arenas. They're playing games. Like the people in Israel did. They're playing games. And the people in America will go off to judgment as the Jew went off to Babylon. Thus says the Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Did you hang on a tree? You ain't going to redeem anyone, including yourself. In order that, verse 14 of Galatians, so that for this reason, he redeemed you from the curse of the law. He became a curse for you. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, so that in order that for this purpose, that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So that, once again, that for this purpose, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You have received the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, the quote unquote, the Holy Spirit's first name is Holy. He's going to be about Holy Spirit. Now, don't get dogmatic on me saying, oh, Bill said the Holy Spirit, his first name's Holy and his second name's Spirit. When the Spirit comes upon you, he pursues holiness. He causes you the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control. He causes you to pray. Notice those that have been redeemed. When witnesses witness redemption, look at what happened. Boaz redeems Ruth. The people see this legal transaction that takes place. And what is the response of the people? The people that witness redemption, there's a response. Those that have witnessed redemption, there's a response from these people. Turn back to Ruth and we'll see the response of the people. Those that have witnessed this great transaction. Never mind, they witnessed the transaction. Never mind those that have been redeemed themselves. They've just been witnesses of the transaction. And look at the response of the people. Turn back to Ruth 4. Verses 11 and 12. I'm getting ready to wind down. Verses 11 and 12. Chapter 4. And all the people who were at the gate, all the people that witnessed redemption, and all the people who were at the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. Amen, amen, verily, verily, we are witnesses. And what did they do? The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you profit and may you prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. We have the action of the witnesses. When Boaz redeemed Ruth, the people broke out in prayer for him. Those that have witnessed redemption, those that have been redeemed, they break out in prayer for Ruth and their future family. So it is with Christ. It is because of his redemption that we are stirred to pray, giving thanks to him for redeeming us. They were men and women of prayer. They witnessed the redemption. They see that Ruth has been redeemed by Boaz, and they're rejoicing and they're praying. How are you filled with the Spirit and you don't pray? How will you ever be filled with the Spirit if you don't pray? He tells you if you don't have the Spirit, to ask for it. To ask for Him. To be filled with the Spirit. Over and over and over and over in the book of Acts, Paul and Peter, when they filled with the Spirit, they spoke boldly and with confidence and with authority. Not because somebody's acting like a damn fool before people barking like dogs, howling and whistling and doing somersaults. That is not being filled with the Spirit. That's charlatans deceiving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And how many of you are too cowardly to say anything to your brothers and sisters that they're being deceived. Pray today to be filled with the Spirit based on the Scripture. They go hand in hand. You need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. God reveals Himself in the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture to you. And He fills you with power and with purpose. And you cannot help but pray for your brothers and sisters. Prayer is aroused within the heart of all believers because of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He said, "And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and you shall be, it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You have not because you ask not. And you're not asking because you really don't want the prayer to be answered." Just like people pray for revival. People don't want revival. They just want to look like, "I'm spiritual. I'm praying for revival." Revival starts with dead. Mortification. Repentance. Sin gone. Holiness. Is that what you want? Crosses. Pain. Heartache. "Oh Lord, send the revival." The Lord ever send revival, you'd be terrified and run the other way. That's why you don't pray. You don't really want it to happen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Why is that not happening in your life? You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And that is in the context of revival. In the context of people being redeemed. See, we take these verses of prayer out of context. "Oh, whatsoever things you desire when you, you know," and we use that to cover everything, which is a secondary application. But when you see all these prayer requests, it is first and foremost about redemption and redeeming and glorifying God Almighty. That's what it's about. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. To do with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you don't pray, if you don't come to pray, how do you know what the saints want? How do you know what the saint is burdened with? If you don't come and pray with your brothers and sisters, not have a cup of chicken cutlets together, that is not praying. That is not fellowshipping. Praying is, "Sister, what is the burden of your heart? What are you heartbroken of? Brother, what is it that you need? What can I pray for you for?" People that are spirit-filled, that's how they pray. They pray for one another. Not me, 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 me. They pray for you. "How can I pray for you? What do you need? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him." You're not being honored because you're not calling on him. "Thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am." Is that what he's saying to you? "Here I am. Son, daughter, what would you have me to do for you? Here I am." Do you know that God? That's the God that you are to know. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." This is our God. Those that are witnesses of redemption are to pray. And as a result of their prayer, they will love, they will comfort, they will minister. You know why? Because you are the one that's doing the praying. And most of the times, the Lord uses you to answer that very prayer. "Lord, I pray my mother, father, aunt, uncle, brother, sister be saved." It's like, okay, I'll answer that prayer for you. Get to it. Go do it. The Lord uses you. Not only are we witness of redemption, but we are to be the very ones to be poured out Because the redemption, if you read Ruth and say, oh, ain't that such a blessing? Boy, look at that. She found love and he found love and they had a couple of kids and it all went lovely. That's a great love story. They have said that's the greatest piece of the literature ever been written. The book of Ruth. Pagans say that. Greatest love story ever been written. And that's some physical stuff. What in the world kind of redemption do we have with our glorious Boaz that lives forever and ever and ever and ever? Lastly, in closing, one verse that I would remind you all of. I'm sorry, not one verse, it's three verses. Turn to Luke 21 in closing. And I would just remind you and encourage you. I would encourage you. I would rebuke you. If you need to be rebuked, if you need to be encouraged, this will encourage you. Luke 21, 25 to 28. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This doesn't exactly sound like Boaz in the book of Ruth. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads. Because what? Your redemption draws near. And dear Heavenly Father, I would pray that we would take our redemption very seriously, Father. For Christ paid the ultimate price to redeem us, Father. Boaz, he just had to give up a field and share his life with a woman. Jesus Christ had to become sin. He that knew no sin had to become sin. And then, as a result of becoming sin, Father, you found him cursed according to your law in Deuteronomy. Cursed. Cursed is the man who does not continue in all things written in the law. Christ became sin. He became cursed. And then he hung on a tree for the right to redeem his people.